Welcome to the Plant Centered and Thriving Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kitchens. I'm a plant-based registered dietitian and virtual nutrition mentor. I was raised on an Angus cattle farm, grew up with a lot of GI issues, and used the power of plant-based eating to promote healing. Here you'll find inspiration, ideas, and encouragement for your own plant-based journey. I'm so thrilled you're here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to the show. My name's Ashley, and later on, I'm going to introduce Stephen to you. He is here to share his story, and I want to let you know that it is a very raw, open, and honest story of his journey and the experiences that he experienced as we work together. He's going to talk to you about how in February of 2021, his doctor diagnosed him with type 2 diabetes, and he came to me seeking help. He wanted to reverse his type 2 diabetes. He did not want to go on insulin, even though his doctor was pushing it. And because of the situation that he was in and the time constraints that we had with the pressure his doctor was putting on him, we took extreme measures. We transitioned him to a whole food plant-based, primarily salt, oil, sugar-free diet to help his numbers and to help him heal, to help his body heal. So this isn't the approach I take with most of my clients, but extreme measures call for extreme action. And that's what we took with him. And he's going to share his journey in an incredibly open and honest way, which is something I really appreciate about Stephen. And I hope that there is something that you can take away from this, whether it's hope for your own journey, or whether it's something that you can maybe pass along to somebody else. I hope that you find some value in the story that you are about to hear. So here is Stephen and I's recap of his journey in reversing his type 2 diabetes. Welcome to the show, Stephen. It is so good to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate, you know, being able to give some information and hopefully some positive outlook on what I've been going through.
Yeah. So let's just dive right in. And I think a lot of what the listener can relate to is just what we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. So I would love for you to share, because I know what you're struggling with before we started working together, just kind of what was going on before you sort of hit this fork in the road.
So quick history, health-wise, I had been going to see my doctor every year for physicals and doing labs a couple of times a year because I was on cholesterol medication and high blood pressure medication. So it was important to kind of track things. And I had been going through this pattern of continuing to get worse and worse. You know, first I was on a little bit of cholesterol med, then it became more. And then I went on to heart medication, then it became more. And then I was in pre-diabetes, and then it became more. And this past February, I went to the doctors for my annual physical, and he did a full complement of labs, brought me into his office and said something along the lines of, well, we really need to talk about medication because you have diabetes, which was, you know, kind of a shock in one way because, you know, I guess from a stupid perspective, I expected pre-diabetes to last for 70 years until I died. And then it didn't. It only lasted for about 8 months until I went into diabetes. So it was pretty quick. So the minute I heard he wanted to put me on medication for diabetes, I thought, I don't want to do that. I've known so many people in my life that are diabetics. It seemed like a really slippery slope towards horrible things happening to you. And I just figured medication was an excuse to just continue that life pattern. And I didn't really want to do that. So I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not going on medication. And he looked at me and he said, no, really, we need to discuss medication. You're in diabetes right now. And it's only going to get worse. I said, no, it's only going to get better. He said, what do you mean? I said, I need 3 months. I'll come back. I will make an appointment on my way out the door. I will be back here in 3 months and I will show you what can be done in 3 months. And when I come back, you're not only going to not say that I need medication, but you're going to start taking me off the medications that I'm on. And he looked at me like I was kind of crazy because honestly, he thought to himself, I've been seeing this guy for years now, watching him get worse and worse and worse. And this is like, you know, this is the culmination of that. So why can't we talk about medication? So I went home, on the way home, talked to my wife about it. And, you know, she's was a little bit freaked out about the fact that I had diabetes. I think she saw people in her own life, certainly, that had diabetes and people that had really bad things happen to them because of it. And she basically said, hey, you know, I told her the story, what I told the doctor. She said, it's really up to you. I mean, I can't hold your hand anymore. I can't do this kind of stuff for you. You need to do it for yourself. And that was on a Thursday. It was actually my son's birthday. So didn't want to call any of the rest of the family at that point because, you know, once I tell one of my three children, they all tell each other. So there's no secret. So
of course,
my wife and I were planning to go to Maine to visit my daughter that weekend. We did that. I stayed pretty quiet all weekend because I really didn't want to get into it with them yet. About halfway through Saturday, my daughter said, what's wrong? Something's going on. I said, no, everything's fine. She said, no, what's going on, Dad? What's happening? So I told her what was happening. I think, you know, she was really sad. I would guess that's probably the expression that I would say. It was pretty consistent. And, you know, she's a social worker, so she had a lot of empathy. She didn't come at me really strongly. She just came at me with a very empathetic feel and a degree of sadness that I had gotten to this point. And I think, honestly, she was thinking sadly about my demise and, you know, what's going to happen. So that was Saturday. By Monday morning, she had a conference call with my other two children. She called me back up and said, okay, I've talked to everybody. One of us found you a counselor. One of us found you a plant-based dietitian because my diet was primarily plant-based at that point anyhow. And one of us found you a personal trainer. These are your tools. Do what you will with them. If you choose to take advantage, that's great. If you don't, we're leaving it entirely up to you at this point. So I started making calls and started getting in touch with people. I think actually, Ashley, you were probably my first call because I kind of, while I didn't know you, I certainly knew about you from my children. And my son-in-law and daughter own a plant-based protein company called Small Seed. You know, we talked and then I got in touch with the personal trainer. We set up a time to meet. You set up a time and sent me information about, you know, paperwork to fill out. Probably the hardest one to figure out was my counselor because I really didn't know what I needed to have a counselor for. I had periodically been in different kinds of therapy about issues that I had before, but I didn't really know why. Why was I at this point in my life? And so I really thought long and hard about what I need a counselor for. And I kind of determined, and this is a long-winded way to get back to your question. I was really angry about things that were going on in the world, in my life, and didn't really recognize that anger. But I think I probably took that anger as an excuse to continue to destroy my health. And because I think me in general, I have a tendency to take things onto myself instead of putting them out there onto other people. It was just a lot easier to take this anger and not really reflect it onto others, but to reflect it back on myself. And so again, that's the long-winded answer to your original question.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you sharing that piece too, because it just goes to show that your overall health and well-being is so much more than just food, that there are so many other components that help, like your mental and emotional health and activity, working out as well, which I know that you invested in.
Great. Yeah. I became a warrior in every way. I really submersed myself in everything I needed to do. You had recommended a book called Reversing Diabetes by Dr. Barnard. And for anybody listening who's even in pre-diabetes or even thinking about diabetes, I would say one of your first resources should be that book. Really, it's an amazing book because it takes you through how to get your life back in order. And some of the things in it, they're not radical at all. They're just they're kind of about decision making, you know, how you want to treat your life from that point forward. And then I started working out. I'd always worked out, but I never really knew how to do it in terms of, I'd worked with some personal trainers, but I really never knew how to get what I wanted. So there's lots of ways to working out. You can either gain muscle, lose weight, get healthy. I told my trainer I wanted to do all three. So he had to figure that out. And then the counselor, my daughter, again, who's a social worker, she's the one that interviewed all the counselors for me. And she knows that I have a particular persuasion in life. I'm kind of a conservative, traditional person. And so she wanted to find somebody up here in the Northeast who would fit that mold. And that was like the last piece that I needed to find. And all three things really put in motion a process. And then, you know, working with you, it was about measuring things. I'm a very numbers oriented guy. I think that's probably one of the first conversations we had, is that I focus on numbers. And I think one of the first things you said to me is stop focusing on numbers. Yep. You know, start focusing on results, not numbers. And, you know, if you want to measure your results by numbers, that's fine. But consider that there are other possible ways of finding the results that you're looking for that aren't numerical. And, you know, that was a concept that I hadn't really been familiar with, because I think, like everyone else, you think about health as a direct correlation to weight a lot of times.
Yep.
So, you know, not focusing on those numbers, but really focusing on the results of that health. It's been kind of a strange way for me to look at things, but a way that's been really a productive and a mindfulness that I had to kind of get my hands around.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a much different approach. I know that we talked through that a lot, and numbers were obviously still part of your journey because you, again, you're a numbers guy. So you wanted that in there, but we looked at so many other factors as we went along as well. And for you, Stephen, one thing that you mentioned is you were already eating a pretty plant forward diet. And so it wasn't really a drastic shift to going full-fledged, fully plant-based, but as you did make that transition, I'm curious if there were any struggles for you, or if there was anything that you were doing that you felt like was really imperative to this whole change as well.
I know this is probably not going to be all that helpful to people listening, but I would say for me, my shift to plant-based was relatively easy. I have three children and two in-laws, son-in-laws, all of which are vegans. I have three grandchildren. They're all vegans. And a wife who's like me. We don't have a word for ourselves, but we're basically vegans that eat seafood. So I don't know if that's, it's not pescatarian because we don't eat dairy and eggs and things like that. So I have been lactose intolerant for over 40 years now. So I was already used to eating a primarily non-dairy based diet. So that part was pretty easy. Because of my kids' influence and them visiting all the time, I was already used to cooking plant-based, vegan, and gluten-free. So, and in fact, ended up writing a cookbook, which came out, ironically enough, right before all this diagnosis with my daughter, that is a cookbook that's primarily, well, that is entirely vegan and gluten-free. So also I'm a trained chef and worked as a trained chef in the industry for quite a while before I went into another business. So early on in my career as a chef, I taught a class on using dairy alternatives to classical French cooking, which was kind of an interesting approach back in the early 80s. Nobody really wanted to do French cooking without lots of butter and cream, but I tried to teach them how to do that because I was lactose intolerant and needed to do it that way. So that part was easy. I think the hard part for me was the oils, because, you know, being a chef, I cooked with olive oil all the time. My breakfast before all this started was a bagel with avocado on top of it. You know, it was an avocado toast, basically. So I was eating typically a full avocado every day, cooking with olive oil. I had already switched to vegan butter, so the butter wasn't a problem. I didn't eat a ton of cheese, but I certainly ate my fair share of other things that had whole plant-based oils in them. That was the hard one. I needed to cut that out. And so finding alternatives, like, for example, I don't know if people know this, but it's really easy to saute vegetables in vegetable stock or broth. You just put a little bit in the bottom of the pan and you start it out. And the reason people don't think about this, but it makes perfect sense, is that when you start cooking vegetables, the water breaks down out of them anyhow. So what you end up with is probably 30 seconds after you start sauteing them, you end up with a puddle of vegetable stock in your saute pan anyhow. So starting with that just cuts the oils out and it ends up with the exact same texture and flavor. You don't obviously get the caramelization. So if you're looking for a sweetness, that's probably not going to happen. But in terms of everything else, it works beautifully. Again, not a huge struggle. And I'm sorry if that doesn't tie into what other people want to hear. But for me, it was relatively easy to transition. And in your group, I heard another woman talking about the fact that her whole family, like she'd go to family parties and all they did was push non-plant-based items onto her and always talked about the fact that, well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want to eat? I think she was English. You know, I think probably the typical English diet is, you know, Yorkshire pudding and roasts and things like that. So I'm sure it was for her in her family tradition, really difficult to be around them. For me, it's like, you know, my kids couldn't wait to figure out what I was going to do next. Was I making a vegan meatloaf? You know, was I doing falafels? Was I doing a lasagna with beans? Was, you know, what was I going to do next? And what was I going to come up with for a creation? And, you know, I guess the long of it is that you know, Holly and I are actually going to be working on a 2.0 small seed, big appetite book.
And we'll link that below in the show notes that if you're interested in checking it out, you can click the link below just to check out the one that's already out, which I also have downstairs in my kitchen. Good. Stephen, I think you mentioned something that we talk a lot about on this show, and that is having a very supportive community, especially when you're new to plant-based or even just transitioning kind of like what you did, where you didn't maybe make significant changes coming from like the standard American diet to eating plant-based, but it is so imperative to have that supportive group helping you along. So whether it is your family, like you have, Stephen, or whether you go out and find a Facebook group or a few people on social media, or maybe people locally who are plant-based or vegan to help you along your journey, that can also make the world of difference because we don't live in a plant-based world. And like Stephen said, some family members, some friends, maybe are wanting you to eat the way you used to eat, which can make it really, really challenging.
Right. Yeah. I do think that it's important that people find like-minded people. I have had so many people say things like, I could never go without meat, or I can't give up meat, or yeah, all this sounds good, but I'm not giving up meat. Or how can you just eat plants, you know? And so I always have, I'm kind of a contrary personality. So I always confront them and I say, okay, you ask me, how can I only eat plants? And I will tell you, I said, how many different kinds of meat do you eat? I said, 5, maybe, I don't know, beef, pork, chicken, lamb, and maybe, you know, maybe venison or something, right? I have at least 8,000 different plants that I can eat. I said, so who's got a restricted diet, you or me? If, you know, you're restricting your diet to primarily 5 items. I'm restricting my diet to 8,000 items. So as far as I'm concerned, you're the one living a restricted lifestyle. All you have to do is think about opening up your life. And giving yourself the opportunity. And I said, and you know, and if you're afraid to do it, the other thing that I always tell people is, look, do not go to plant-based immediately. Don't do that. It's just too hard if you're not used to it. Once a week, make Tuesdays plant-based day. And starting Wednesday, start figuring out what you're going to cook the following Tuesday, because it might take you some shopping or some time to pull things together, some ingredients you're just not used to buying. I said, do that for a month. Do that for 4 Tuesdays. And then the following month, make Tuesday and Friday plant-based and do that for a month and just work your way into it. You may never get to 7 days plant-based. You may get to 3. You may only get to 1. That's not what really counts. It's moving yourself forward.
And for you, a big part of this journey was taking note of how you're feeling along the way, not just with nutrition, but obviously with your counselor and with your personal trainer as well, is like how, and that, and we talked about this, how is your body feeling when you eat certain things? And now you're able to make that connection so much more deeply than maybe you were before.
That was, I think one of the things you and I had worked on quite a bit was sugar. I mean, it was a real issue for me. But so after cutting it out for many months, going back to it even slightly initially really hurt my stomach and really, I felt horrible.
Yes.
Even a little bit of sugar. Now, I mean, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. I can have a dish of ice cream or a Nelly bar or something like that. And, you know, it's not killing me. It doesn't hurt as much. But if I do overdo it, I mean, honestly, if I have too much, go right back to that same feeling. So your body will tell you what it is that you shouldn't or should be doing after a while.
Yeah.
And it's important to listen to your body. It's really important to be in tune with it, but not to be so hyper-focused on everything so that you're just spending all of your time just trying to tune in on slight variations. I think it's important to do conceptually these kind of trending things like, does sugar bother me? Yes or no? And if it does, how can I deal with it? Does alcohol bother me? Yes or no? If it does, how can I deal with it? Does dairy bother me? Yes or no? If so, how can I deal with it? These are kind of conceptual trends that I think you have to listen to your body about. But if you have a quarter piece of cheese, I don't think you should perseverate on it for 3 days afterwards. And this is something that I really had to learn through you. We talked a lot about that process. And initially, I was somebody that just went so far into this initially and so strongly into it that had a really difficult time even accepting coming off the reservation for a quarter piece of cheese because it seemed so disappointing to me in what I was trying to do. And you really helped me to understand that you need to really know that in order to get to a lifestyle as opposed to a diet, you need to give yourself permission to fail and to be okay with failing. And also understand that failing is not always failing. It's sometimes just a variation to success. And those are really good concepts to have.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. So take us back to February, 2021. You're in the doctor's office. He's telling you, Stephen, you have diabetes. We got to put you on medication. And fast forward to going back to see him, because I know you saw him a couple times as we were working together. What ended up happening?
So yeah, here's where I get into numbers and hopefully people won't gloss over, but I think they're interesting.
Yeah.
So I had a full set of labs done in October, 2020. This was four months before I started on this journey. And then February comes along. And so my AC1, which is the diabetic marker in February, was 6.8, clearly into a diabetic phase. My cholesterol in October of 2020 was, my good cholesterol was at 50. My triglycerides were 138, glucose was 188, and my PSA, which is a strong indicator for prostate cancer screening, which is always tied into your diet, was 4.0. So fast forward to October 2021, so a year later, and 8 months after I started this process, my AC1 went from 6.8 in February to 5.1 in October, a decrease of 25%. My good cholesterol went from 50 to 64, it increased 28%. My triglycerides went from 138 down to 77, a decrease of 44%. My glucose went from 188 down to 103, a decrease of 45%. And this one is maybe the most remarkable one of all. My prostate cancer screening was cut fully in half from 4 to 2. And those are the numbers. I mean, I'm a numbers guy, so it's working. My weight went from 227 down to 177 in about 4 months. From February through July, I lost 50 pounds. And all of the things got better. So I don't have diabetes anymore. My cholesterol medication, I don't take anymore. I've done away with it entirely. My blood pressure meds have been cut basically in half. I don't have either GERD or invisible GERD, which is invisible GERD makes you cough all the time. It's kind of like it's a horrible thing. I don't chafe when I walk anymore or have skin reddening. I don't fall asleep randomly. I have more strength, more energy. I think I look better as far as body type. I have more positive emotions. I have a lot less anger. My clothes fit me a lot better. I used to have pain sitting down wearing jeans with a belt because the belt was constantly pushing into my stomach, and I don't have that anymore. I get to be more interactive playing with my grandbabies. I can get down on the floor. I can bend over. I can pick them up. I can roll around. I don't get out of breath. I can literally scrunch down like a catcher in baseball for 15 minutes and not feel like my body's going to fall apart. I have much less swelling and inflammation in all my joints and muscles. I have way better self-control over all my impulse actions. And then probably the best thing is that I have a potentially longer life, so that I get to enjoy all the people that I love in my life even longer than I might have before. And that's the real, that is the trophy at the end of all of this.
Yeah. Yep. There's nothing
rather long list, and I'm building on it every day. I call it my reminder board. I actually hang this list that I've just read off of. I hang it from my mirror so that I look at it every morning. Things that have gotten better after changing my life. And yeah. I look at these things every day to remind myself that I will never go back to what I was because I don't lose all this. This is so many good things. I mean, if I told you 6 months from now, all of these things could get better in your life, and all you have to do is blank, why would somebody not do that? You know, this is like, this gives me a whole new reason to live, you know, a whole new reason to move forward in life. So why wouldn't, you know, I guess from my perspective, and maybe this is really just too simplistic, if I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, you know, why not take them and open that door?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way that I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you did that. I mean, it took you feeling really poorly, your doctor telling you, hey, you're knocking on basically getting insulin here soon. And it took you, your daughter eventually saying like, hey, Dad, what's wrong, for her to talk to her siblings to almost stage, you know, this sort of like quote intervention for you of like, hey, Dad, we see, like you said, your demise, and we want to do something about it because we want you around longer. We want you to enjoy our kids, your grandkids longer.
You know, this is something that is possible, and it's something that you can do. You just have to really put your mind to it, and you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
You can't do this unless you're prepared for it. And it's not like you can do it for other people. I guess that was the other lesson that I learned out of all of this. And I say this to people, they look at me really strangely. I said, this is the one time in your life when you have to be totally selfish. Mm. And for me, that was a strange concept because I only cared for other people. I almost never cared for myself. If I had $100 in my pocket, I would give, you know, 98 of it away and keep two just in case something happened. It's just the way that I am. I never really cared about myself that much. It was always about my family. It was always about my kids. It was always about my community. This was literally the first time that I can remember just doing something for myself, with myself, entirely for myself, and selfishly doing anything that I needed to do, regardless of what other people felt about it.
You really put your head down and you focused on you for a long time. When, like you said, so much of your life had been focusing on other people and really not paying attention to yourself and your health until it came to this point where you had to.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the other lesson is, you know, just start.
Yeah.
Start. You know, don't, if it takes you 10 years to finish, it takes you 10 years to finish, but start.
Yeah.
Do something. Just do something. Instead of having 10 Pepsis a day, have 8. Instead of having ice cream every night after dinner, have it 5 times a week. Just do something. Walk. Get out and walk. It's not hard. You know, walking is easy. pick somebody you like to talk to and just go, or get a Walkman or whatever the hell they're called now. It's not called a Walkman anymore. Just go.
Yeah.
You know, just do something. Go, you know, you don't have to go to the gym. Just walk.
Yep. And I really like to kind of summarize what you're saying too. It's like, you're not saying do something incredibly drastic. It's like, just start with something small and then add on to that, because that way it's going to be most sustainable.
Sustainability is, I think, you know, you and I talked a lot about the fact that I wasn't even sure I could be sustainable. You know, yeah. I knew that I worked my ass off and I tried and I did what I needed to do. And I'm proud of that, but I had no idea if I was going to be able to make this work long-term. Yeah. And I, you know, I looked at people in my life, like my wife, who had gone through a significant health scare and changed her life because of that. And it seemed like her life was really easy in terms of the choices that she made in life. And I just jealously wanted to get to that point where I didn't have to think about everything all the time, where I didn't have to just be so paranoid about everything or just beat myself up over everything. And I can honestly say that sitting here today on the 17th of November, 2021, I've gotten there. I'm here. I'm here today as a result of everything that I did, but I'm also here today understanding that my life will never go back to the way that it was. It not only can't, from a psychological standpoint and physiological standpoint, but it really can't, because I refuse to let my life be that unhealthy again. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to make myself feel that bad again. So the only way that I could ever get back there was to feel horrible for many, many days, weeks, or months in order to put myself back into that situation. And I'm never going to do that.
Yeah. Mm. Stephen, thank you so much for sharing your personal journey and your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And if I could just mention, obviously, you are an important part of this process. So I would encourage anybody that's listening to this, if you want to get started, get in touch with you and you can kind of show them the route to get there. The trainer that I have, I don't know if anybody's going to listen to this from up in the Connecticut, Massachusetts area, but his name is Tyler LeBlanc and he runs a program called Tiger Fitness. But he is wonderfully positive about the way that he approaches fitness. And, you know, he's hard. I mean, it's work, but he's a very faithful, spiritually based trainer. And I love that about him. And it's somebody that I think people who want to go about doing training in a boot camp kind of way, but with boot camp results, would probably love working with this kind of a person. And I would say the third thing is you need to get your mentality around all of this. So you need to find a good counselor and somebody that fits you from a personality standpoint. And, you know, I was lucky enough to find a guy up here named Nick Dakota, and he is the kind of person that fits me from a personality standpoint, but more important than that, he allows my growth to be incorporated into what I need to do in life, as opposed to looking at it from two different silos. And when you do that, I think that gives you the strength from a mental standpoint to really do the hard things in life, but to also make life that much easier when you're done with this. So I just wanted to mention that at the end.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And we'll also put a link in the show notes where if you're wanting to find a mental health counselor, a psychologist, just a link that you can go and look sort of nationwide throughout the US to find someone that might be in your area, or even take your insurance, which can be nice.
Yeah. I was lucky that I found both somebody that could take my insurance and that was in my ear.
Yes.
But it's honestly, I've never met him in person. We do everything by Zoom. So you can find somebody in California if you want.
Yeah.
And live in Massachusetts and still have good counseling. So it's become a lot easier to do that kind of stuff. So I'd say important enough is that you need to find somebody that from a personality standpoint is going to fit you.
Yes.
And understand what you're going through and to identify those things that are the reasons why you're going there. And, you know, I had to figure out that anger was the primary reason that I was going to get myself healthy again and to get my hands around that and to get my head around that. And you know, I think there are a lot of angry people right now, and I'm guessing that a lot of the result of all of this bad health is a lot of anger. And, you know, I haven't resolved it, but I'm working at it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm working hard towards it. I just can tell you it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. All of these things definitely take time, like you've said, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. I think I was probably a rarity to be able to lose that much weight and get my health together in, you know, 4 or 5 months. But, you know, I also say that, you know, if it takes you 4 or 5 years, that's okay too. At least you're working towards it.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cause we definitely took your health very, very seriously. Those first 4 months, 5 months, we hit it hard because we had to, you had to.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm.
Well, thank you again, Stephen. Thank you for just being so raw, open, and honest with everything. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of this. I hope that, you know, I hope that whoever is listening to this takes my story. Maybe there's some relationship to what they're going through in life, but if they can take what I've done and even take a small piece of it and move forward with it, then, you know, I feel like, frankly, I feel like a hero at that point. And, you know, I love that. I love the fact that I can feel good about this process. So thank you again for inviting me to be part of this.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to the Plant Centered and Thriving podcast today. If you found this episode inspiring, please share it with a friend or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally say thank you. Until next time, keep thriving.